Take up the book of Romans once again. And this morning we just have one short verse to dwell on, but much to think over. And sometimes some of the things of life are things that you really have to experience in order to understand the significance of these words. They're not going to be understood easily except through actual real life situation. So I just want to share some of these things with you in the light of the lives of people who have served God, people who have actually experienced this in the modern day world. And then you can understand what it means for us to understand this a bit more carefully. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy of reading your word and realizing its relevance and its significance. We pray that we will read your word with understanding and with faith, with the desire to put into practice what we hear. We pray that you will help us to appropriate the lessons, the truth, carefully into our life, that we would really live for you the way we were meant to. We pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we read the book of Romans, we can be so caught up with so many things. We can be caught up with the problem of sin. We can be caught up with, academics. The real challenge of the Christian life is as God intended our lives to be. And what is that life? And in Romans 8:37, Paul highlighted what this was meant to be. Okay, and in verse 37, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You know, if only we will understand that that's how God intended our Christian life to be lived out. We are conquerors and more. The world's one of the most famous brands of shoe wear is Nike. Nike comes from this word, literally. So what is a Nike mean? Literally, a conqueror. Are there roads to run on? I conquer. Are there roads to walk on? I conquer. Are there obstacles? I conquer. That's the word, Nike. And they branded it well. Right? But that's exactly what conqueror really means. It comes from the word Nike. Nike borrowed this word. We're not taking from Nike. We're taking it back. It belongs to the Lord's word. Now, the question is, the challenge is more than Nike, literally. I don't think you can have a brand called more than Nike. But that's what it means. We are more than conquerors. We are literally above conquerors. That's what this word means. Right? Above conquerors. And I think this is something that we talk about. And so Paul talks about this. And he said these words. More than conquerors, and it is through him. You cannot be more than conquerors by yourself. That's important to know. But challenges through him who loved us. Right? And that's the key we want to look at. You know, it's something that we need to consider very, very carefully. One of the most moving missionaries' lives, especially in China, was a man called Hudson Taylor. If ever there was a man who understood what it means to be a conqueror in real life, literally, in our modern day times, it would be this man called Hudson Taylor. The question is, what did he go through? Now we take a look at this, okay? And then we look at verse 28. Paul says, "I am persuaded." Literally means, "I stand persuaded that nothing, death or life or angels or principalities or powers, you name it, One of the most wonderful, one of the most challenging things to look at is to look at how Hudson Taylor conquered a lot of things in his life when he was a young lad. Because, you know, they were not rich people. But he was always delicate in health, frail. And so one of the things that everything, the father, mother, all looked after him. Don't sit in the draft. Dress warmly. Don't take chances. He was the only son. They looked after him and they just felt, well, he was just very well looked after, but frail in health. How is he ever going to be able to go through the rigors of it all? Well, his father was a pharmacist. So he learned a lot about pharmacy from his father. And he was not fully qualified as medical doctor, but he felt called to go to China. So he went over to China, and there it was a really difficult time. Now this is where we need the light. Not a whole lot of wisdom on the part of himself and the people who sent him. No adequate supply, no instruction, no training, no medical degree to speak of, not trained as a missionary. Just go. That is so benighted. You know, he would later on teach people how not to do that. But there was missions in those days, they would call modern. Actually, people could have avoided a lot of these things. One of the challenges that he had, of course, was living in China. It was hard, right? First, he had to go in, learn Chinese all over. He went to Shanghai. Now, Shanghainese don't speak Mandarin. They speak Shanghai. And they're very proud of it. So the challenge is, do I learn Shanghai? Do I learn Mandarin? So he opted for Mandarin. But how do you get in there? One of the people he talked to, he says, you know what? If ever you were to China, people will run from you. Look at your blonde hair. Look at your blue eyes. Everybody will think you're really a foreign devil. They will kick you out. So he decided that he would do this. One, he would dye his hair black. Now, Chinese people dye their hair brown and white. You know, this is the reverse. Secondly, Qing Dynasty time, wear a queue. He actually wore a queue. He kept a queue. And so he was there. Wore Chinese clothes. Ate Chinese food. Tried to live as much as he could in a way that, could he do it? More than conquerors. Now that's pretty amazing. So half a doctor, half a pharmacist. Went for training, did not complete what he needed to become a medical doctor. He went anyway. And he was there. He got married there. He was one of the local people, not local, in the Chinese, but one of the missionary families was there. And, and he finally, this girl was called Maria. And she was just really, really wonderful for him. Had several children. One of the hardest things to do is to see your own children die in front of your eyes. Now, that was a painful time. You know, and so he suffered the death of two or three of his children and his wife. She died at 33. In China. And it was nothing you can, have. So one day he said this, I can't think, I can't even pray, but I can trust. You know, it's only when you begin to understand what does it mean to be a conqueror. You see, we have not suffered. Many of the things we have in life is there. His eldest daughter was called Grace. Now, later on, he went back to England after being so sick
They told him, you stay on, you will die. So he went back home for recuperation. He couldn't stay on. So he stayed on in London for 4 more years, after which he graduated from the London University for Royal College of Surgeons. At last, he got his degree. But it took him 4 years to recover. And went back to China. But during the 4 years when he was in London, the most important thing that he did was to translate the part of the New Testament in the Ningpo dialect. And there he was, this 4 years were so important, Romanized, so that people can learn it better, go faster. And he finally graduated, he went back home. And one day, their daughter was sick. Now he was able to diagnose what it was. He says, our daughter has meningitis. There is no way we can save her. She will die. You know, the most challenging thing is to look at the way in which he saw his family die. Wife, children, buried in China. Now that is pretty amazing. And nothing stopped him from believing that God loved him and wanted him there. He went through so much. He was harassed. He was chased. People broke down his house. The Chinese people wanted to kill him. Time and again, the Mandarin saved him in that district, over in Shanghai. If he had not been there, for him, he would have died. And then came the Empress Dowager, who wanted to kill all missionaries. He wanted all foreigners to be out of China. Now, his difficulty. He developed then what is known as the China Inland Mission. And he was there. 58 of his missionaries were slain. He was just too numbed to do anything. I mean, to think of the loss of his family. Well, you're responsible for your family. But you invite people to go to China. You tell people, we will have to trust the Lord for everything. And then to see 58 of his own missionaries die, slaughtered. That's why he said, I can't think, I can't pray, but I can trust. You see, sometimes it takes this to understand the love of God. And it's not an easy thing to understand. See, many people think of the love of God and, God loves me, how wonderful it is. But we don't really have anything to understand it with. If we have a little bit of problem, we get angry, we get uptight. How are we conquerors? What have we suffered? Nothing much. William Carey is one of those people who they call him the father of modern mission just before Hudson Taylor's time. Same problem. The church was very, very, very benighted in those days concerning the matter of sending out missionaries. The support was so poor. And so he had a wife. They brought a wife along. And then, they were so poor, even as a pastor over in England. And then the first child died. And the mind of the wife broke down. Just couldn't accept it. Several years later, another child came along, also died. And every time death of the family hits the family, the wife is absolutely stunned. And so the family said, well, I want to go to India because God called me to be there. And the wife said, you can go alone. I'm not going. There were problems. There were difficulties. So finally, a friend came by and said, you cannot just do this. God has called him. You've got to be there to support. And so they went. It was miserable. It was he hardly did any missionary work to begin with. There was no way he could survive as a missionary, given the support that he had and didn't have, actually. So he became a manager of an indigo factory that supported him. Later on, he became a professor of a college that England started. And they asked him to be a professor of languages and culture and customs because he was the leading expert in that area. So he asked the people, do you know who you're asking? I never went to college. In fact, my formal education ended at 12 years old. But he says, nobody speaks the languages that you have. Do you know? He actually instructed himself in Greek. Able to use it for translation and Hebrew. He mastered 40 different Indian languages. He wrote and spoke fluent Bengali and became a master at Sanskrit. Now that, I really gotta take my hat off. And there he was. But his personal suffering was untold. When the third child died, the wife's mind completely snapped. Every day he had to face a raging, raving, mad person. And the family asked him, if people advise him, put her in a hospital, put her in an asylum. And he said, no. She is my wife. She is the mother of our children. And I will stay with her until God calls her home. That is what it means to be more than conqueror. You see, a lot of people talk a good talk, more than conquerors. Live it out. Check it out. Really? They went through so much, lots and lots and lots of difficulties faced. Nothing is easy in missionary work. Every step of the way, difficulties from the government, from the East India Company, and everything you name it. And yet this, everyone has a single thought. We are more than conquerors. And I want to encourage you to find this faith to live by through him who loved us. You know, sometimes we forget. We think that if I can present my argument to you, that will win the day. Don't kid yourself. It's not about how strong your arguments are. It's not. It's about your life. It's about being more than conquerors. There are challenges in India, of course. There are challenges in Myanmar, of course. Adoniram Judson, the same thing. Same. All of them, three of them, Judson, Kerry, Taylor, they all lost their wives in a mission field. They lost their children. One day, William Carey's son, eldest son, was called Felix. Now, this young man inherited his father's gift for languages. And he could speak Bengali like a native. He wanted to go to Burma instead to serve. So he took ship with the wife, children, all went to Myanmar. Remember, those days, traveling was hazardous. His entire family wiped out, all drowned at sea when they hit a storm. And for months, for years, Felix couldn't really fathom what was happening. He just wandered around, unable to reconcile himself to be a conqueror. So being a conqueror is a concept But it is not an easy thing to understand. Sometimes we face a little bit of problem and our mind keep on dwelling in it. Why like that? How come like that? Why can't it be better? How can we come and find a better way? This is not how it works. It's not by argumentation. It's not by figuring it out. It's not by, let me find a solution. That's not what being a conqueror really means. See, and yet the challenge of it all, as we read Romans 8, if I truly am predestined, justified, called, and I'm God glorified, then it must apply here. It must apply, I'm more than conqueror. Because the conclusion is already there. I am going to triumph out of this. You know, sometimes you think in terms of the lives of these heroes of the faith and what they went through, that you begin to see for yourself what it really, really means to be more than conquerors. You see, the modern day approaches to problems is, okay, what did I do wrong? Okay, what's the solution? Okay, what angles can I apply? Okay, what argumentations can I have? How are you a conqueror? How are you a conqueror? You see, Paul's challenge was not, there are things you cannot overcome this problem, death. Yesterday, on Friday and Saturday, I went to see a fairly young man. He's from Malaysia, and he's in the hospital at SGH. So I went to see him on Friday, and he started off with a cancer of the bladder. He's not yet even 50, he's 49 plus. So the operation, I met him after the operation, he went for chemo and everything else. The doctor says, I think it's okay. He came back. But this time it's gone to the bones. This time it appeared on the lungs. The doctors told the family, very frankly, they don't think he will last through the year. So I went to see him, and I spoke to him about, you know, the idea of faith in God and the love of God. You see, real faith will catch this. God loves me. I can face this. If not, you're just tired. At this point, just tired. It's not everybody understands what faith is. Not everybody understands what the love of God either. So I said to him, I will see you after we finish camp. God willing, he will be kept because he's weakening and fast. It's not a hospital. He, being Malaysian, he has to, he cannot take any other class, only first class. Even if he goes to the third class, you pay first class. It doesn't matter. Singapore is not kind to people outside our country. You go into hospital here, it's always first class, and they charge you an arm and a leg, and it is going to be very expensive. So it's not a question of no medical advice or poor medical facilities. No, it's faith. The real challenge is, how does faith help us? Paul argues, he says, but we are more than conquerors. How? What does it mean when we talk about, then he made a list of all these things, conquerors. Now let's try to understand how this is. Okay, now this is something that we really, really need to. Now this is important, I hope that we can understand the reality of it all. This is God. This is life on earth. And we always imagine that life on earth will be blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And then the last blessing, we close our eyes and we see God. That is a fairy tale. It happened in a faraway land. This is not true. We all are going to have problems. Right? You're going to have diabetes. You are going to have malaria, which you all are familiar with. You're going to have TB. You're going to have all those things which afflict life. You're going to have heart problems. Let's face it. This is not going to stop. These things won't stop. Oh, now I'm a Christian. There's a, you know, no-fly zone. So mosquitoes cannot come and attack us. No, no. There is no such thing. The challenge is, how can we be huper? Literally, more than conquerors, above idea of conquerors. What is it? Then I want to share this with you so that you can face life. So there are problems, there is opposition, there is difficulty. How do you face this? We don't find secular solutions. We're okay, now I shall do it better. I don't know. That's not how it works out. Paul tells us, first in verse 38, he says, I am persuaded. Now, this is important. Okay, how does he come to this attitude to be more than conquerors? How? And he says, I am persuaded. In other words, it didn't begin automatically. But the word is, I am persuaded. When Paul was in Corinth, there were mobs, there were problems, there were difficulties, people attacked him. And God stood by him and said, Paul, don't be afraid. I have many people, just stay here. That's it. You see, so he had to be literally persuaded. A persuasion literally has the idea is the mind has to be persuaded. I am persuaded. Being a conqueror involves the mindset. What is your mindset like? You need a strong, powerful mindset. That is where it begins. I am persuaded. Okay, two, emotionally, in the heart, you have become persuaded. Because sometimes the heart does not agree with the mind. And we all understand this. What we feel, what we think, they're not necessarily the same. But this is what it is. I am persuaded. Okay, B, but it says, I am persuaded. Literally, it means that I stand persuaded. Now, this is the use of the perfect tense. Okay, C3, I am now able to speak as one who is fully persuaded, heart and mind. I am very, very convinced I am conqueror and more. It takes this. This is why the student pastors are put to such a pace. And they all know this is my favorite color. It's the only color. And I work with them. And if they cannot take critical analysis, if they cannot take evaluation objective, if they cannot take the workload, if they cannot face up to these things here, you will never make it. The pastoral work is demanding. I've just completed 17 pages of conference notes for your Bible conference coming up in April. And they will be very, I was asking, I think better stop. Because and this only covers two chapters in the book of Acts, 1 and 2, that's it. And it's not even in detail. How much work must be put in? Right? It must be persuaded, completely persuaded. See, many people don't have a conqueror's mind or heart. And of course, movies, Braveheart. Well, you know, you need a brave heart, exactly where the heart is. I'm a patriot. Really? It takes a lot to be a more than a conqueror approach. And as you face reality of, this is my illness, what do I do next? See, the problem is that we resort to all sorts of human ways. And in God's kingdom, in God's work, it will fail. There is no substitute. There are no shortcuts in the Lord's work. We either have this heart, mind persuaded completely, and then you can say, I stand as one who is completely persuaded. Now that is how it works. Now, how does the love of Christ come in? Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Now that is so absolutely important. See, in this word love comes in, many, many people think of love for the birds, love for the world, the world's approach, right? And they charge one stalk of rose, what, $10. That will live only today, tomorrow it wilts and dies. But because it's Valentine's Day, we pay $10. Even Myanmar got into the act. They were selling roses $1. One stalk, one flower, $1 US. Of course, Singapore is just, is, you know, it's very little. You can buy a dozen roses, you know, but then send it from Myanmar over, you die already. But you see, this is how the world understands love. This is not how Paul understood love. You see, to him, that love was real. You know why I read the words of Hudson Taylor, and he says, I cannot think. His mind was numb. I cannot pray. Death so heavy on the heart. But I can trust. What do you trust in? You need something that will go beyond words. And there is a love that is there. It doesn't have to be uttered. It doesn't have to be expressed. But it is real. It is powerful. It stays there. And it keeps the heart and the mind steady when nothing else in life is steady. And that is amazing. You see, a lot of people don't have the love of God in their hearts. We can talk about the love of God, we just can't see the reality of God's love. You see, and Paul talks, he says, do you know what it is? It is love. It somehow makes a person do what, I mean, I read a story of a Russian lady, her son was crushed, he was fixing his car. And then the car, you know, that he jacked it up, the collapse, and the car, the son was pinned under. She saw the son pinned under. She ran to the car with all her love. What did she do? She put her hands under the car and opened the car. Huh? Are you serious? That's love. That's what love is. Sometimes you read in China about a man who carries his mother down the hill. Carries her mother, brings her down to see the doctor's clinic. Where are you living? I'm living up in the mountains. Carries her up, all the way up there, miles. Why? It's my mother. I must do this. Maybe words of love are not spoken, but that's what it is. That's what love is. You see, sometimes we only understand the human part of love. We do not understand that love of God part. If only that love of God can be so real. That is the driving force of people who William Carey, driving force of Judson, driving force of it. So when first time Hudson Taylor wanted to get it, you know, he fell in love with a girl, a sister's schoolmate. Her name was Vaughan Family. And so he went very, very interested in that. So they became good friends. And he asked for her hand in marriage. And the father said yes at first. And then the father asked him, how would you provide for my daughter? Said, well, we trust God. Okay. Two, when is she going to come back to see us in England? Maybe never. Then her father said, sorry, permission cancelled. And so he went to China on his own. Human love is like that. The wife said, why can't you just train and finish up your medical degree? You can serve God. I'll be happy to help you. Look after the patients. Look after the people. Why don't you just be a doctor here and we can serve God here? But God had spoken one word to Hudson Taylor. One word. China. Live, breathe China until he died, 72 years old. All God needed to say one word to him was, go to China. And it was hard. He struggled with so many things. But the love of God was so real in his life. One day when he was training, you know, one of the things that doctors are very, very afraid of is just a little pinprick. Infection does not take long to it. There it was. So he was feeling sick, you know, feverish, almost delirious. He went to see his doctor and he says, tell me what's wrong with me. The doctor said to him, please go home, prepare to die. This infection was taking over. So he went, he barely made it home, collapsed in home. Took a knife, lanced it, and he nearly died. He squeezed out everything that he could. He nearly died. These were the challenges that were there. But one thing that stood out in his life was just simply the love of God. You see, if only we can see, understand, feel, really appreciate the pulsing love of God within our hearts, every day, you will be alive for God. We all understand what love is. I mean, you know, this is very, very important. I mean, it's natural, isn't it? Right? These are important. There are two wonderful little girls in my life. One is 6, one is 8. Every day, I look at their photograph. You know, and every day, you just want to try and stay alive. So one day my son said to me, Dad, if ever we die in an accident somewhere, the grandchildren are yours to look after. You can bring them home here and stay with you. Just one word like that. Why do you think I want to stay in a house? Only two of us. Why don't we have a small place somewhere? No. Maybe one day I have. I'm not saying it will happen. But just the thought of it all. I've got to be strong. I've got to stay as healthy as I can. I've got to live as I can. I've got to do everything I can. Why? One word, love. For the grandchildren. Just in case they need me. I think those of us who are grandparents, we all know what it means. Just if our grandchildren need us, we're going to be there for them. Doesn't matter if we are tired or sick or old or whatever, we will do everything we can. Love. That's what it makes a person. That's what makes a person a conqueror. We think of, we spare no expenses whatsoever. Love. See, that's what makes a person more than conqueror. Paul, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Paul saw his whole life. Miserable man that he was. Wicked, wretched, injurious, you name it. And God saved him. God loved him. And once you have experienced and felt that kind of love, you're never the same again. See, the challenge is to keep this love of God alive. And once you know that it is alive, you just do it. Right? You just find the strength somehow. I mean, there we go. 50 pages of chem notes, 17 pages for, because it's only a 3-day conference, and then only at the level we're going to take it at, first stage one. of church building work. Okay, it's a lot of work. Then next, we preparation for the Perth family camp coming up. How to love the Lord's word. Where would you find the strength and the energy to do all these things here? Love. Love for God, love for His church, love for His people, love for ministry, love. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And love must be so real. It makes you more than conqueror. Obviously. This is what Paul is. See, many people study doctrine, but they don't relate it to life. That's a wrong way of studying doctrine. Anything and everything we study from the Lord's word must affect our mind, our heart, our very life. Then we can truly be more than conquerors. There's no other way. I have a good faith in church. I face life. I worry, cannot sleep, how to overcome, find arguments. For what? We're wasting time. And this is the love of God. Angels, principalities, powers, things to come. Wow, it's absolutely amazing. What is he talking about? See, many of us are just not aware of how the evil one attacks us. And he will attack in every way possible. He will accuse. He will speak ill against you. He will frighten you if he can. He will cause you to give up. That's how it works. So many times, it is frightening to see this. Right? So there are lots and lots of challenges along the way. Are there people, one of the good friends of here, partner of Hudson Taylor. So we went to England, went back to China, and there he was in ministry. His friend went up further. He stayed where he was. And he went to preach to the people. But the more he preached, the more people got angry. So then the Christians who surrounded them, they were the ones who also get injured. So they were going to kill them. So this missionary friend of his stood in front of the crowd and was killed. All these things, if you look at the number of people, other missionary organizations lost over 100 people, missionaries. They wanted all missionaries out. Sometimes you really wonder, how did the work last? Did it last at all? Until China opened up. And then he began to ask, how many Christians are there in China? Do not bow under communist rule. And the answer is tens of millions of Christians. They survive the communist revolution. They survive under great hardship. They survived in more ways than one. That's pretty amazing. So the work is not lost. You see, but we need to understand, how do we approach life? And the best thing to do is to ask ourselves, what is it? So we've got to go back to this idea of God's love. Is God's love real? Believe me, you can hold on a job, but serving God, holding on a job is useless. There has got to be a love for God. Preaching, teaching, camp ministry is literally from morn till way past set the sun. Typical day in camp is 5 a.m. to midnight, every day. That's how it is. And we've been doing this for 40 years. How do you sustain it? You can't, unless God's love is so real. And we hope that this camp, you will find God's love real. Not just read the Bible, read Isaiah, whole camp alive, after the camp, don't know what's Isaiah all about. What's the point? Find the love of God real.